How different would you live your life if you realized that everything you said and done was being recorded? And how different would you live your life if you had this big TV screen on the forehead of your life so each and every person that you came into contact with could see exactly what it is you were thinking or feeling? And what if you knew that someday that you'd have to stand before the judge and give an account for the things that you said and or done? Man, I could imagine going to court today. You know, it's kind of like you're driving down the road and you got that camera and you think you can make it through the light. And just as you get ready to go through, the light turns yellow and you think you exited just before the light turned red, only for them to send you a picture in the mail or by way of email many days later just to say, you was caught still in the end section. You thought you was clear. You thought you was free. You thought you'd made it. You thought nobody would have caught what it is that you've done. And now the evidence is sent and it shows you are guilty. Pause and think about that, because that's what we're going to talk about today. In this message today, we're going to talk about the fact that God already knows. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing covered. There's nothing that will not be seen. Nothing that will not be revealed that he does not know. In accordance to Luke chapter 12, verse number 2, it says it this way. It says, for there is nothing, nothing meaning not even one thing that will not be revealed. That word revealed there talks about to take off the cover. Nor hitting, which means that will be concealed. So he's saying there's nothing that is covered right now that will not be, have the cover removed, that will not be made known. In fact, it's going to be clearly expressed. He says, therefore, whatever you have spoken, said, whispered in the dark, in the booth in the back of the corner, where you thought nobody heard it, nobody seen it, nobody whispered it, he says, it will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ears, in the inner rooms, in the closet, in the back, in those secret places, will be proclaimed on the housetops. In other words, those things, those secrets, those plans, those plots, those strategies that you thought nobody knew, he says, going to be revealed. He says, and that's the purpose of this message. He says, because it will be by your own words, you will be justified. Justified means to render innocent. He says, and by your own words, you will be condemned. That word condemned there means pronounced guilty. It's not what Bobby said, or Lucy said, or Mary said, or Joe said. He says it's by your own words you will either be justified, or by your own words you will be condemned. You said, well, what do you mean? Somebody's could be watching. Somebody, what if somebody knew? What if somebody heard? What if somebody recorded? You have an angel. And that angel is taking notes. And that angel that's assigned to you is taking notes of everything that you said, the things that you've done, the things you did not say, the things you have not done, things you have whispered, the things you have messaged, the very thoughts and intent is being recorded in the book. And he's just writing it down. But you know what? The other thing is you have an adversary, and that adversary is also assigned you a demonic force. You know what that demonic spirit is doing? He's also writing down what it is you said, didn't say, did or didn't do. One will use it as their strategy to come up against you. That's what the adversary do. He will look for ways to come up against you. But the other one will record it. And here's recording it so that if you're a follower of Jesus, it will show your rewards. Pause and think about that. He says you're either going to be justified according to your words, or you're going to be found guilty according to your words. Who is the determining factor? You are. Now, I want you to ask yourself the question, why would God take this time today and share this message with us? Well, he said it this way. He says, and according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says, all these things are given as an example. The Bible, what the world calls the Old Testament, those things, and even the Bible itself, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, are given for what? As our example. For what? He says it this way. These things happen to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us to live at the end of this age. He says, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. In other words, he says, I'm telling you all these things. I'm sharing all these things. I'm telling you, God already knows, so that when you get to the end, you will already know that it's being recorded. So there will be no surprise. God doesn't do pop quizzes. He doesn't want you to be caught by surprise. He doesn't want you to be ignorant of the adversary's devices, which he's going to try to use against you. And the one thing that the adversary is looking to do is to use your words against you. And I'm going to show you an example of that today. The word of God also goes on to say in 1 Corinthians that's chapter 10, verse 13, he says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others have experienced. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. He says, and when you are tempted, God will show you a way out that you may be able to endure. You know what it did not say? It did not say that God was the one behind the temptation. So many people say God was the one who put me in this situation just so he could test me. God already knows how you're going to respond in a situation, a circumstance. Why would he put you in a situation to set you up to fail? Now, are there times that you will go through situations and God will use it to teach you something? Not because he brought the situation, but through the situation, he can still teach you something out of it? Absolutely. But he's not going to be the one to cause chaos and calamity to come upon your life. So let's just debunk that story, right? You said you're going to give us an example of what it looks like for your words to either justify you or your words to condemn you. Turn with me over to Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3 in verse 13, this is the children of Israel who were in covenant with God, and God is restoring them back into right relationship. He just talked to them about the fact that he changes not, that they were not consumed. He changes not, and that's why they are still in relationship with him. And he's telling them about one of the ways that you're violating my word is through your tithes and offering. And he goes on to tell them, hey, if you bring all your tithes and offering to the storehouse, that there be meat in my house, he said, prove me now if I would not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you won't have room enough to receive. He says, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he'll not be able to take the fruit from your ground, neither shall your vine cast its fruit before its time in the field. And he says, and then all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. This is what God had said to the children of Israel, from which he had a covenant with. And then you get to verse 13. Then God says to them, but your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? He says, you have said it is useless to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now, this is what they said. So now we, the people who were covenant with you, God, we call the proud blessed. We call those who aren't even serving you blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They are being promoted. They even tempt you, God, and they go free. That's their attitude. This is the people who God had just restored back into right relationship and position with him. You said God gives things for an example. He does. You go to the book of Job, chapter 21, verse 13, it says it this way. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Yet they say to God, depart from us, for we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. Who is this Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we have if we pray to him? In other words, what's the benefit we get out of it if we do what it is that your word says? These are not just ordinary people. He's talking about people who have been in relationship with him. These are people who have been in covenant with him. These are people who he's delivered time and time and time again. Yet their hearts were hardened towards God. How did you know? By the words that were said out of their mouth. And what did he do? He just recorded it. It goes on to say in Job 22:13, it says it this way. This is what the people are saying. And you say, what does God know? Can he judge through the deep darkness? Thick clouds cover him so that he cannot see, and he walks above the circle of heaven. Will you keep the old way which wicked men had trod, who were cut down before their time, whose foundations were swept away by a flood? Because this is what they said, God, depart from us. What can the Almighty do to them? In other words, God, we good. We don't want your ways. We don't want to follow your directions. We're going to be doing it our own way. We're going to be like Sprite by obeying our thirst. We have made a decision, come to the conclusion that we know better than you. Now that's when you know you stuck on stupid. When you believe that you are smarter, wiser, more progressive than the one who created you. That's like you thinking that your phone is smarter than you. That's like you thinking your computer is smarter than you. That's like you thinking that your car is smarter than you. Even if you're the ones who created, developed it, it will never go further than the creator. That's a word of the Lord. You will never go further than the one who created you. Those who give God honor, God will honor. But to those who dishonor God or lightly esteem his word, he will dishonor. In other words, he will just, okay. He'll back off and let you do your own thing because he knows, and the adversary knows, it's all been written in the book. How do you know? You keep reading in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, says it this way. Remember, first we was talking about the ones who says, man, we're gonna call the proud blessed. The wicked get away with doing what they want to do, and God, you don't even do nothing to them. But there was another group. This group in Malachi 3:16 says this. Then those who feared the Lord, they was afraid of God. No, they have a reverential awe and fear and honor and respect for God. They spoke one to another about the Lord. And listen to this part. And the Lord heard them. He listened and he heard them. What? The Lord listened and he heard him. So you trying to say God listens and he heard? Yep. And guess what else it goes on to say? So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. Whoa. You mean God listens? God hears, God records what's being said, and your name is written in the book of remembrance. He says, they shall be mine. He says, and on that day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him, then you will again be able to discern or know for certain between the righteous and the wicked. This part. Between the ones who serves God and one who does not serve God, even though they say they have called on the name of the Lord, they did not serve him. The first group was supposed to be in covenant with him, but they did not serve him. Some people say that I believe in Jesus, but just because you say you believe in Jesus does not mean that you're following him. The adversary believes. Yet he does not follow. He says, but those who fear, honor, have a reverential fear and awe of God, who tremble at his word and tremble at his presence, and are quick to obey, even when they don't understand all the ins and the outs. He says, those are the ones who I write in my book of remembrance. Remember, God already knows your works. You said, okay, that's one example. Give me another one. I will. Turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 says it this way. And the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Who is he talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus says. I know. I am aware of your works, your acts, and your deeds, that you have a name, you have an authority, you have a character. And it appears that you are alive. You're full of life, but in fact, you are dead. You, on the outside, you look like you got it all going on. He says, but on the inside, you are dead like dead man's bones. You know, it's interesting that Jesus said that to the Pharisees. He says, you know, you wear your big, you know, your robes, and you have your big titles, and you have all these things. I believe it's in Luke chapter 11. And he goes on to say, but on the inside, it's as dead man's bones. He says, because on the inside, there's greed and there's anger and there's selfishness and there's pride. He says, all those things is hypocrisy. It appears one way, and in fact, it's something else. So Jesus is saying to this church of Sardis, I know your works. You look like you are alive, but on the inside, you are truly dead. But I love the thing about God is he'll never leave you that way. He'll always give you an opportunity to turn from that. He says, but be careful, or be watchful, or keep awake and strengthen, set fast and establish those things which remain. There are some things that you still believe in. There's some things that you still hold to. He says, strengthen those things, reinforce those things. He says, because they are ready to die also. He says, for I have not found, I have not perceived your works, your acts, and your deeds to be satisfactory before God. Could you imagine living this life, believing you've been going to church, showing up, you even served a little bit, you went through the motions, and then finding out at the end that the Lord says to you, I have not found your works satisfactory before God. Would you prefer that God tells you now, or that he will wait to the end, till you're standing before the throne, and find out your works were not perfect or complete or satisfactory in the face of God himself? I don't know about you, Lord, tell me, show me now. And that's what Jesus is doing today, giving us the opportunity to realize that all those things we think are hidden, covered, that nobody will ever know, is being written in the books. He goes on to say, remember, be mindful, therefore, how you have received and heard. Be mindful of how you have previously gotten a hold of and given attention to the things that I've shared with you before. He says, hold fast to them and repent. Turn from your old ways. Change your thoughts. Change your mind. Change your actions, change your destiny. He says, therefore, I'm telling you, if you will not watch, if you will not give attention, I will come to you like a thief in the night. He says, a thief comes when you least expect it. He says, and you will not know the hour, the second, the month, the year, the season that he will come upon you. But ladies and gentlemen, know this, Jesus is coming. He says, but I'm warning you. I'm sounding the alarm to you. Hold fast to those things that are ready to die. He says, but this is not everybody. This is not every single individual, because there are some who in the church who have not defiled or soiled their garments. And because they have not defiled or soiled their garments, they shall walk with the Lord in white, for they are worthy or deserving. But then Jesus says it again. But he or she who overcomes, who prevails, shall be clothed in white garment. He says, I'm telling you, I'm sending this message, I'm sending this warning to you, because it's not too late. He says, but the time is getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. But you don't know the time. He says, but the time is coming. He says, to those who overcome, to those who prevail, they will be clothed in white garments. Praise the Lord. And he says, and I will not blot out. Now, there's a whole lot of argument about that. You know, your name can never be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus literally just said it. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life. For who? Those who will prevail, those who will overcome, those who, though they were once, you know, it appeared like they was alive but really dead, they made a decision to repent, turn your mind, change your thinking, change your actions, and hold fast to those things that they had previously given attention to. He says, I won't blot out your name, but I will declare and I will proclaim your name. I will acknowledge your name before my Father and before his angels. That's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you and I today. But he says, but why is all that important in the first place? Because he talks about the ones who overcome, for those who prevail. But what if you don't? What if you ignore the warning? What if he's like, man, I don't believe all that mess. I'm a do me. What if you like those ones like, God, we don't want your ways? He says, then your words will condemn you, pronounce you guilty. How do you know? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says it this way. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw, what did he see? The dead, small and great, standing before God. Hold it. Who are the dead? Those who never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Those who made a decision, hey, even though you said yeah, I look alive, but I'm really dead, I'm not going to make a decision to turn and do what it is that you said. I'm still going to live my own life. I'm going to go through the appearance that I'm good on the outside, but on the inside, I'm tore from the floor. It's kind of like you can see a brand new car. I've seen cars that have come into dealerships before. On the outside, that car looked immaculate. But when you took a closer look on the inside, under the hood and in the engine and in the transmission, there was so much slug and garbage in that car. Even the owner spent so much time polishing on the outside, they never did anything to the inside. And eventually that car stopped working and judgment showed up. Was it because there was something wrong with the car? No, it wasn't the car's fault. The car was only a tool that was being used. God is telling you and I, hey, I'm telling you, this is coming. He says there was the spiritually dead. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are spiritually dead. He says, how do you know that? Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says it this way. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life in Christ Jesus. Unless you are in Christ Jesus, you are spiritually dead. That's the dead he's talking about here, who's standing at the white throne of judgment. And this is what he said. As they were standing at the white throne, the dead, the small and the great, standing before God, and the books, remember the books, were opened. And then another book was open, which is the book of life. Remember, Jesus said to the church of Sardis, I will not blot out your name from the book of life if you overcome and prevail. But if you don't overcome and prevail, guess what happens? Your name is blotted out of the book of life. But if you never receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your name is not in the book of life. But you are in, you do have books of your life. Then this is what happened. And the dead, spiritually dead, were judged according to their works and by the things which were written in the books. Where did the books come from? The angels recording your thoughts, your actions, your words, your intentions were written in the book. And by those things that were written in the books, you will be judged if you are still spiritually dead. But even if you're born again, there are books to record what was said and done in the body so that you will be judged at the bema seat of Christ for your rewards. Do you see the difference between the two? One is for justification. The other, you will be pronounced guilty. Do you see the difference between the two? He goes on to say, but then the sea gave up its dead who were in it, and death and Hades were delivered up their dead who were in them. And then they were judged, each one according to his or her works. Where was the works recorded at? In the books. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen to this part. And everyone, and all who were not found with their name written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. That's not a one and done and you get a do-over. Once it's done, it's done. There is no reset to that. That's why God is sounding the alarm, letting you know. God already knows. He already knows. But you know the great thing about God is this. When he tells you, he's telling you not to cause you to get into fear, not to scare you, but prepare you and give you an opportunity to do something about it. He says, what gets you from one set of people to the other? What gets you from justification to from condemnation to justification? Easy. The words out of your mouth. The words out of your mouth. What shows you the difference between light and darkness? The word of God. So how do I get from condemnation to justification? How do I get from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son? How do I get from Satan's way of doing things into God's ways of doing things? By your words. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says it this way. It says, the word of God is nigh you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, healed, set free, delivered, made whole. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do you make that change? It starts by the words of your mouth. Pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe you were put in a grave, but now you're risen. You're alive right now. Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may be born again from above. From this day forward, I make a decision to walk and live in the fear of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray that prayer, made that confession for the first time, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you in a right relationship with God. Now, if you rededicated your life and got back in a right relationship with God, I want to welcome you back in the right position with God. Now, what do you got to do next, man? You got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that Faith Life and Ignite Depot is such a place. We'd love to have you join us each Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll teach a right now word to help you to walk in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to know about the love of God, the kingdom of God, and the fear of God. On behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.